Okay, this is May. The second half of World Watches will come on right now after that break. In the book, The Betrayal at Arnhem, that I've mentioned before on other programs, this journalist, A. Lauren, Laurens. I don't know his first name. It's just the initial A. He describes the stalling in Arnhem of the Americans and the slaughter of those people. That was just a few weeks. That was in the fall. The Battle of the Bulge was in December. But in this book, he talks about the role of Prince Bernhard and a double agent, a spy named Christian Lindemans, and the suggestion that Lindemann went to prison and died, and the true story didn't come out about him. There was a middleman named Peter Baker, described in this book, who was at Arnhem, who had a relationship with both Christian Lindemann and Prince Bernhard. And the story of what happened to the Americans in this particular section was that a double agent had betrayed them, didn't tell them where the Germans were, lied about the weather, the paratroopers didn't land. A glider fell in the backyard of Nazi agent Kurt Student with the complete plans of where the Americans would be. And this book goes into the fact that Christian Lindemann, the agent, after the Arnhem affair, goes back to Prince Bernhard to meet him. And he's among a group of people. He stood alone until he was attracted by his tall build and his manner, and he was with English journalists, and he was led by the Daily Mirror correspondent who smelled the story and went over to talk to him. Christian was not adverse to publicity. He was happy to oblige. They talked and had a drink, and later, at Prince Bernhard's headquarters, they strongly regretted this meeting with the man from the Daily Mirror, because later, the meeting was denied, just as it was denied that Lindemann ever visited the headquarters before September 22nd or 23rd. The journalist tried to say the meeting of the double agent, the Nazi double agent, with Prince Bernhard, who's supposed to be helping the Dutch resistance, never took place. They tried to say that they invented it to make a good story. But the fact was that King Kong, that was his code name as the Nazi agent, was a colorful person who was remembered at the prince's headquarters, and they knew that Christian Lindemann would become a persona non grata, and they had to keep their distance. It was, this book says, it was the sorry end of a dangerous road for Christian Lindemann, because he had to die a terrible death in a prison without trial, but he was seen by correspondents, and the events took place. He was a double agent. The book suggests there were other Nazis informing against the Americans, and even hints that Bernhard of the Hitler's SS, the Hitler Youth of IG Farben, could be with Lindemann, and that they betrayed the Americans. And then, of course, Bernhard becomes a bigwig with the American establishment when the war is over. Another book on the plans for the Bulge, starting in September 16, 1944, when everything had been arranged from 43 up to that time period, tells how Adolf Hitler called his men in, the Führer, as of September 44 and said, "Take no more notes of the daily conferences. Nothing should be told. The official transcripts should not be available." Now, Hitler photographed everything he did and was very proud of what he did, but this was supposed to be very secret. And the meeting of Lindemann with Prince Bernhard was not to have taken place, but it took place. Now, at the end of this program this evening, just for the heck of it, the last 7 minutes, I'm going to put on a song for you from Pacific Overtures that has so much to do with treason and the changing of countries and the color of countries through the meeting of criminals who sell out their own country for a piece of gold and then pretend it didn't happen. Many of you know, who are familiar with my broadcast, how I like theater. I don't like television or movies, but I like live theater, and I love Stephen Sondheim, and I love Pacific Overtures. There's a book written by a Harvard graduate in 1966 of the Pacific Overtures, and it became a musical, and the theme is the price of progress. Just as that Antarctica deal to make the war in 1946 is called national security. And the gist of this song and the play is that in 1853, Commodore Perry arrives in Japan with military might, and the Japanese don't know what to do with him. In 1 year, Japan is to be sold out and start to become Americanized, but they don't know how to meet him because it belittles them to have someone meet Commodore Perry. So they compromise and decide to take a fisherman who's in prison because, in quotes, his experience with Americans will make him equal to the task. Well, we have certain prisoners that have been presidents, men that should be in prison, presidents of the United States that followed the assassination of John Kennedy and covered it up, all of them, and covered up Jonestown and other murders. So these are our public officials equal to the task, I would say. And they take a prisoner to meet the Americans. And the point is that nothing is supposed to happen. There'll be a meeting. It'll be secret. Nobody will know. So they build a temporary house and put mats on the floor. And all traces will be removed, such as the double agents selling out Americans in Arnhem or Hitler's secret arrangements from 1943 to 45. Now, there's two people to remember the story in this particular song. One's an old man who was 10 or 11 years old at the time in the treehouse when the meeting is taking place, and the other is a man on the floor who is listening to the meeting. And the theme is in the song is that there's someone in the tree. If there's someone in the tree who hears it, that is what happens at the meetings, and what happens affects us all. That is the theme of the play. And 1 year later, in 1854, Japan is on its way to what they called westernization. And at the end of the play, the emperor removes his robe, and he's in Western military uniform, and they've all sold out. And in the United States, I think our emperors and the Hagues and the Kissingers and the Fritz Kramers and the Caspar Weinbergers will take off their clothes, and they will be Gestapo underneath. Now, the theme of this song in the treehouse is that there was somebody there when there were trees. Everything is cut down now. It's concrete. And one man who's singing says, I was younger there and I was hidden all the time. And if it happened, I was there. I saw everything. I was someone in the tree. And some of them had gold on their coats and some of them have gold. And I guess that always is what they sell out for is gold. And some crawled around passing notes. This is from the song from Pacific Overtures. They crawl around because they're really low-bellied beasts, passing notes, just as the secret projects down in Antarctica that were as secret as our Manhattan Project of the atomic bomb, and they haven't told us what they've planned. And the song says, the day is not complete without someone in the tree because nothing happened there. They would say nothing happened there, but if one person is there, the story will go on. And the older man sings how he was hiding in the tree. But he says, I am a fragment of the day. I'm just a small person who happened to hear it. It's the pebble, not the stream. It's the ripple, not the sea. Not the building, but the beam. Not the garden, but the stone. But someone in a tree. It doesn't matter how powerful they are, how strong they are, how much money they have in the banks, how many weapons they control. Bigness isn't the truth. I learned that reading the Warren Commission hearings. When you get 26 volumes in an 800-page report that has no more truth to it, say, than Treasure Island or any other story. I'm sure that Tom Sawyer has more truth than the Warren Report. And it isn't the size of a book. I have a huge Army book on the Battle of the Bulge. It's 700 pages, the official U.S. Army report. And it only mentions Hitler's chief of staff, Fritz Kramer, on one page and doesn't refer to him by first name. So you can have 1,000 pages on a subject. It's not the bigness, and it's the small. It can be the pebble. It can be the ripple. It can be the beam. It can be the stone, as long as somebody knows it's true. And he sings, I am a part of what I hear. And the thing that's of value to me of this program, being on the air 11 years and having many of you listen for 11 years and many of you taking tapes and subscribing, is that once you get these cassettes or once you have heard me talk about Project Paperclip or Space Wars or the trickery that was going on and where the assassination teams were, such as they're admitting through the State Department, now the hit squads we've trained, we are a part of what we hear. And once we hear it, we know what happened. And no matter how many lies they tell, how many cover stories in books or newspapers, there is a truth out there. And he sings, I am a fragment underneath. But he says, they talk a bit, they shout when they speak, but since I hear them, they are there. I am the listener underneath, the fellow says, who is under the floorboards. He says, they read a list from a box and someone talks of laws. Always laws. The genius of Sondheim, he wrote the song and he wrote the words, is for a little bit of gold and a list of laws, a crook will sell a nation out. You send a crook to meet the Americans and that's it. And it becomes Americanized and sold out. And they're arguing, we won, no you can't, and so forth. And the song concludes with, we sit up all night signing papers. But the fellow says, I am there, and it is happening, and it is that only fragment of the day. But he says, all I'm seeing underneath the garden are cups of tea and history and someone in the treehouse. History is made by very small pieces of facts put together, not their official version, but people who were there that write about it, people that knew, such as this book on Admiral Byrd, that they planned World War III in 1946, or another book, UFO Secret Flying, Hitler's Secret Weapons, and the story of U-boats going down to Antarctica, Nazis going to Argentina, and the mass migration, thousands of them to this country, hit squads and so forth. Each person is a little pebble in this sea, but if we put it together, we can write our history. And so I do want to play that for you tonight because I like the song and I like the play. And I think in a poem but in a song sometimes, these musicians can capture what I've been trying to say on the air for so long, and we'll do that tonight. Before I put that on, there's another book, The Ardennes, The Battle of the Bulge, and I'm collecting many books. If any of you want to contribute to this, you can go to bookstores, use bookstores, and I have a list I'll give you of some of the books I have and look for them and let's share them together. In the book, Ardennes, The Battle of the Bulge, it refers to an example of Nazi contempt of Mr. Piper, one of the top Nazis who was a stone killer at the Battle of Malmandy, who had a record of killing. And it said an example of Nazi contempt for the acceptable rules of war was Mr. Piper, the SS Panzer Division. That's the SS, Hitler's secret, not the Wehrmacht, not the army, but he wants his SS stormtroopers to survive World War II. So he puts them all in that area so they can join the Americans as of May the 8th, open their arms, become American citizens by May, June, July. They're on their way to the United States, or if they were in prison, they're released. And this one book shows Mr. Piper's troops on the road to Malmandy and all the people he killed. And it says not only did he have a contempt for war, but it would serve this man, a United States senator, as a stepping stone towards a meteoric career. Now, that senator was Senator Joe McCarthy. He went along with several priests from Georgetown University and men from Georgia and insisted that Mr. Piper, head of the SS Panzer Division, be released as a prisoner at Malmandy because he's such a fine person. Now, this book says Piper's command murdered approximately 350 American prisoners of war, at least 100 armed Belgian civilians. The commander of the 6th SS Panzer Division took oath of Hitler that he would act on Hitler's orders and kill any person. He would not take any prisoners. He would simply kill them. And he said at his own trial, I was told to do that, and I did that. And Piper's subordinates accepted the orders of killing of prisoners. This was part of their command. His command gained the bestial distinction of being the only unit to kill prisoners in the course of the Battle of the Bulge and Ardennes. And it's a subject of surmise. Piper has been an adjutant to Heinrich Himmler in the battalion against Russia. He burned 2 villages. He killed all the inhabitants. The veteran SS troops he led in the Ardennes had long experience of pillage and rape and murder in the Eastern Front of brutality towards Americans and Belgians, and with speed they were killing Americans at the Malmandy Massacre. Now, why in the world would Senator Joe McCarthy make it part of his career to invest over $100,000 to get Piper and his cohort, Diedrich, out of prison? What difference does it make to a United States senator that these men, who were absolutely known killers, would be released from prison over at Dachau with Fritz Kramer, Hitler's chief of staff of this entire operation. Who puts people in Congress? That really goes basically into the whole story of the Cold War, of Alger Hiss, the Rosenbergs, because both Richard Nixon and Senator Joe McCarthy made their career out of harassing American civil servants and smearing organizations in America. Until we get to the root canal or the area that really is abscessing this country, we will not have answers of how this Congress votes for every weapon system, gets us into debts of $1 trillion, the terrible inflation, no way to get out of this economic problem. Every article in the newspapers, every Meet the Press, every Face the Nation is whether this missile should be here or that missile should be there. But it's all war. You have to accept the fact that it's weapon systems. It's where do you want them located? How do you deploy them? And the roots go back to this very early period where these men were massacring right and left. And people were put in Congress at that time. Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford came in, and Lieutenant Commander Lyndon Johnson. And we had a whole group of people that were to escalate this war in terms of weapons, in terms of Korea, in terms of Southeast Asia, the Middle East, the Suez Crisis, the Central America, the South America, until today's newspaper says South America may get into the confrontation. Another book, The Damned Engineers, I might have quoted before, tells about the 6th Panzer Division that was so politically colored in its armored divisions that Hitler wanted to construct it purposely. He designed it the way it should be. It was his division. And he called in two of his best friends to command this. One was his old and valued Nazi friend, Sepp Dietrich. Now, Sepp Dietrich was the other person that Senator Joe McCarthy wanted out with Piper. Dietrich was a rough man who fought World War I with Hitler, followed the Fuhrer. And secondly, Hitler called in Fritz Kramer, General Fritz Kramer, as chief of this Battle of the Bulge. So what he took from the Eastern Division, from the Soviet front, as they were winding down the war and stalling it with the help of General Eisenhower and Patton, pushing Montgomery in the back, getting the gold and money out. In this enclave came our future politicians, our future presidents, Nixon and Eisenhower, Prince Bernhard with their scandals with the Lockheed and the payoffs and the SS brought to this country, brought to South America, brought to Argentina, Chile, all over the world, into the Pentagon to advise our chiefs of staff, to form our OSS, to the CIA, the National Security Council. They decided that national security would be to make a third world war, and it seems, and according to what I've studied for the last 17 years, it was inevitable that we face World War III unless you get to the roots of this. Your candidates can run for offices for Senate, House of Representatives, President. Unless they address themselves to these issues, they can never solve the economy because the economy is just geared for war. And as it goes and you make the weapons and you spend more money, you have nothing but a warfare state that produces nothing, pollutes the world, and gives power to these crazy idiots. Now, the Malmedy Massacre, that Battle of the Bulge, was part of Patton's operation, as I say. And I will be doing many books on the reading to you, many shares of books on the chronology of the selling of this country from 1943 to 45. Maybe next week, go into 8 different meetings, starting with the Nazis go underground up through the Allen Dulles, the surrender, the secret surrender. But isn't it fitting that he should call his book The Secret Surrender? It reminds me of the movie Grace Kelly made with Frank Sinatra, High Society. It's such a good title for those two that these titles are very revealing, but Allen Dulles even called his book Secret Surrender, so that if we get into that war in South America and if we continue to send arms subterfuge to Argentina under the table behind Mrs. Thatcher's back, if we play a double role, we've done it all along. It was Ronald Reagan and Alexander Haig and Vernon Walters and the Buckley family and Claire Luce that told Argentina to go for it. So it'll be interesting to see how they worm their way out of it. I believe that the more I study this, and I'm studying it seriously, every day there was a treason here, a selling of America, just as in the Treaty House. And that's why I want you to hear that song, because we're living history, and as long as one or two people wrote all these different books, we can put it together, because they were there, and this is our history, and if we put it together, we can be as strong as those people who say it didn't happen. So I think we'll play that now, because the song is appropriate to what happened not only to Japan when Commodore Perry was there, but what happened to America when Allen Dulles went to Bern, Switzerland, and sold us out to the Gestapo.
Pardon me, I was there.
You were where?
At the Treaty House.
At the Treaty
House.
There
was a tree.
Which was where?
Very near.
Over here.
Maybe over there, but there were trees then everywhere. May I show you? There were trees then everywhere.
But you were there.
And I was there. Let me show you.
If you please.
I was younger then. I was good at climbing trees. I was younger then. I saw everything. I was hidden all the time. It was easier to climb. I was younger then. I saw everything. Where they came and where they went. I was part of the event. I was someone in the tree. I was younger then.
Tell him what I see.
I am in a tree. I am 10. I am in a tree.
I was younger then.
In between the eaves I can see. Tell me what I see. I was only 10.
I see men and matting. Some are old, some chatting.
If it happened, I was there. I saw everything. I was someone in the tree.
Tell him what I see.
Some of them have gold on their coats.
One of them has gold. He was younger then.
Someone crawls around passing notes.
Someone very old.
He was only 10.
And there's someone in a tree.
For the day is incomplete.
Without someone in a tree, nothing happened here.
I am hiding in the tree.
I'm a fragment of the day.
If I were say, things would happen in the way that they happened here.
It's
the pebble, not the stream.
It's the ripple, not the sea. Not the building, but the beam. Not the garden, but the stone. Not the treaty house.
Someone in a tree.
Pardon me, I am here, if you please, I am also
they
here.
They kept drinking cups of tea.
They kept sitting on the floor.
They drank many cups of tea. No, we told him that before.
If you please, I am here.
You are where?
In the Treaty House.
In the Treaty House.
Or very near.
Can you hear?
I'm below.
So I
underneath
know
the floor, and so I can't see anything. I can hear them, but I can't see anything.
But you can hear.
But I can hear. shall I listen?
If you please.
I can hear them now. I shall try to shift my knees. I can hear them now. I hear everything. I'm the part that's underneath. With my sword inside my sheath, I can hear them now. One is over me. If they knock, then I appear. I'm a part of what I hear. I'm the fragment underneath.
You hear?
First I hear a creak and a thump. Now I hear a clink. Then they talk a bit. Many times they shout when they speak. Other times they think. Or they argue it. I hear floor. Growls, much droning. Since I hear them, they are there. As they argue it, I'm the listener underneath.
Someone reads a list from a box.
Someone talks of laws. Then they fan a bit.
Someone bangs a fist.
Someone knocks. Now there was a pause. Then they argue it. But we want, or you can, and we won't. But we need it, and we want. Will you grant? If you don't, we concede it. I can see
the night.
And they lamp yellow tears.
I was there.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.
Now, let me ask you this.
Oh!